Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferentz.
I rap no more. Not talking music, no. It's what the Labor Department has ruled on what they call industry-registered apprenticeship programs. Today on the show, we're going to Los Angeles, and we're going to check in with the building trades, and our independent labor voice will be joining us later in the show. That would be Tommy Buffenbarger. Welcome to the Tuesday, September 27th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. Chris Hannon is going to be our first guest on the show today. He is the Executive Secretary of the Los Angeles Orange County's Building and Construction Trades Council, which, by the way, is an umbrella organization of 48 local unions and district councils, and they represent more than 150,000 skilled men and women in 14 trades. That's a whole lot. Chris became executive secretary last year, and as head of the council, he takes the lead in organizing project labor agreements that bring collective bargaining standards to construction projects. And right now, get this, the council has 130 such agreements covering the Intuit Dome, SoFi Stadium, Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, L.A. Community College District, Long Beach City College, L.A. World Airports, Ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, L.A. Department of Water and Power, Paramount Pictures, NBC Universal. I mean, they're doing a really, really good job. By the way, Chris has risen from the rank and file of the building trades. He started his apprenticeship with UA Local 709. That was the sprinkler fitters, and that was 26 years ago, and he became a journeyman apprenticeship instructor and then president of his local union. Again, he is now executive secretary of the Los Angeles Orange County's Building and Construction Trades Council. The website, by the way, is laocbuildingtrades.org. Lots of information there. One of the things we're going to touch on is a big project that's right now being discussed. They're working out the details. Nickelodeon, the Nickelodeon Hotel and Resort, featuring water slides and a lazy river. And this project alone should create up to 700 construction jobs. We're also going to talk about climate change, offshore oil rigs along the coast. We'll touch on that briefly. And get this, the Los Angeles City Council voted recently to ban most gas appliances in new construction. How about that? And apparently, about 50 cities in California and counties have adopted similar rules banning or discouraging gas hookups in new homes and other buildings. This is kind of interesting, too, because there's many of the opinion, including myself, saying, hey, it's natural gas. It's clean. You're not dealing with oil. It's invisible. But there's still some pushback, and probably some of that has to do with the way we get our natural gas through fracking. So we're going to mix it all up with our first guest, Chris Hannon, on the show. Tommy Buffenbarger will be joining us later, and he is the former president, longtime president, of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, and he is our so-called independent labor observer. You may recall back in February, Tom had the scoop on what was going on in the railroad industry, and it's not good. We still don't have an agreement. We're still waiting on that, and I was under the assumption that we should get the results of that vote shortly, but by listening to Greg Regan on the show yesterday, Greg is head of the Transportation Trades Department, we may not know until mid to end November. We're talking 12 unions. One of them is the Machinist Union. So Tom will give us his view on that. We're also going to talk about the 1,100 members of Machinists District W4 in Washington and Oregon. They're on strike against Weyerhaeuser after rejecting the company's concessionary offer for subpar wage increases. They wanted to cut their vacation time and increase health care costs. In the middle of these inflationary times, that's what they're doing. And from what I understand, there's a company that had record-breaking profits. I mean, everybody's building. With the pandemic, everybody was remodeling. Lumber prices jumped up. Lumber companies making a whole lot of money, but they don't want to pay their workers. At least this one doesn't. And here's another one. Some news regarding the machinists have filed a union election on behalf of 3,000 ground operations workers and baggage handlers. This is a JetBlue. These workers say below standard industry pay rates and benefits, poor and unsafe working conditions, unjustified discipline and terminations, among other issues, are the reasons for wanting to line up with the International Association of Machinists so they can have a seat at the table. So that's what we'll be covering with Tom Buffenbarger as our second guest on the show. Now, for a brief look into the world of labor, brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, boydwatterson.com. The U.S. Department of Labor has announced a final rule to rescind what are called industry-recognized apprenticeship programs, and they will, in turn, direct their resources toward registered apprenticeships to expand access to good-paying jobs and create reliable pathways to the middle class. How many times have you heard me say that on the show? Well, the department issued the final rule after reviewing the IRAP as required by Executive Order 14016, in which President Biden directed federal agencies to, quote, promptly consider taking steps to rescind any orders, rules, regulations, guidelines, or policies implemented by the previous executive order, which came under the Trump administration. You may recall me talking about this, and these are programs designed by management, industry recognized. Now, when you compare them to what the building trades do, well, there is no comparison. The building trades program goes back 85 years. It's proven itself many, many times. And apparently, here's where the Labor Department was on all this. They reviewed the previous rule, and what they found out that the IRAPs pretty much created a lower quality system that was not in the best interest of workers and industries. By contrast, the registered apprenticeship system has, like I said, an established 85-year record of promoting apprentices' welfare and ensuring program quality in an expanding number of diverse occupations and industries. Also, the current system offers higher quality training, worker protection standards, including progressively increasing wages and equal employment opportunity requirements. By taking this regulatory action, the department reaffirms its commitment to the registered apprenticeship system and its value in helping U.S. workers, especially those from underserved communities, to access good-paying, family-sustaining jobs. Way to go, Marty Walsh. And you know, this is getting some pushback from conservatives, the Education and Labor Committee, which we have referenced on this show many, many times, issued a statement slamming the Biden administration's new rule for terminating employer-led apprenticeships. This is what it reads. The Biden administration is relentless. Instead of promoting employer-led apprenticeship programs, which allow job creators to provide workers with tools for success, well, the Department of Labor has given them the axe. Job creators are on the front lines of their respective industries every day and understand the exact skills workers need to be successful. Ultimately, This new rule is another attempt by the Biden administration to bulldoze its way into the American workforce and expand federal control. Workers, job creators, and our economy do not need this new rule or more top-down control. The only people who benefit work in Biden's swamp. That's amazing. So we have a program that has been successful for, again, 85 years. It's called the gold standard many times. And apparently they wanted to cheapen it, and the Biden administration said, no, we're not going to do that. Nearly 200 union workers at the Philadelphia Museum of Art are on strike as contract talks with the museum's management remain unsolved. Workers from Local 397 of AFSCME, D.C. Local 47, said that the museum has been unwilling to resolve concerns about fair wages and affordable health care. Adam Rizzo, who's president of Local 397, said, we're just asking for a living wage. Folks at the museum are working two jobs just to get by. A lot of the positions at the museum require a master's degree at the very least. So a lot of folks, well, guess what? They're saddled with debt. And the museum's high deductible health care plan is also a concern. Adam says it means we cannot afford to go to the doctor even though we have health care. There's a problem there. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll be checking in with Chris Hannon on behalf of the Los Angeles Orange County Building Trades. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
To Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or do both. AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. All right. Let's go to Los Angeles, California. Sunny LA, as they say it. And joining us on our live line is Chris Hannon. And Chris is the executive secretary of the Los Angeles Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. And their website is LAOC, buildingtrades.org. That's a big county, and there's a lot of work. There's all kind of things going on. Never-ending construction, it seems. Hey, Chris, welcome to the show. How are we doing today, my brother?
Hello, Flash. Good to be with you today on America's Workforce Union Podcast.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and giving us a little snippet of what life is in L.A., especially for the trades. Let's first talk about Chris. Chris, you got involved in the trades for what reason? Is it something your dad told you, your grandpa? I like to hear that story before we move on. Go ahead.
You know what? After graduating from high school, I was going to college, working jobs here and there. And a lot of people I was working with were struggling. And some of those, people had college degrees. And it seemed to dawn on me that the college degree didn't solve all the problems. And my dad is a 50-year member. At the time was an active member, union sprinkler fitter. And even though my dad came home each and every afternoon, tired, dirty. He had something to show for it at the end of the day. I started asking more and more questions. Not sure my dad was 100% supportive. Actually tried to encourage me to continue on in college and do something better, do something easier. I'm not sure what better is, but you know, in seeing that my dad had something, I started asking more and more questions. Ultimately went down to the local union hall and applied for an apprenticeship to be a union sprinkler fitter. Scored high enough to get in, and 27 years later, I can tell you I wouldn't change a thing. I've had a fantastic career and just really, really loved working in the field. I love my new role at the building trades, but I still miss working in the field as well. It's a great trade, and being able to work on the job site with all the other trades and be able to accomplish something at the end of the day, being able to be treated with respect, being able to have you know, a wage that you could live in the LA region on, being able to have a retirement to look forward to, I wouldn't change a thing.
There you go. Local 709 of the sprinkler fitters. How many members in that local right now, to your knowledge?
They have about 1,000.
About 1,000.
A little bit smaller local within our region. But each and every one of them are very proud to be union sprinkler fitters.
I'm sure they are. Now, you are the executive secretary of the L.A. Orange County Building Trade. How long have you had that position, and how's that going for you so far?
So I've had this position for a little over a year now. I worked at the Building Trades Council for 10 years. I worked under Executive Secretary Ron Miller for 9 years. And when Ron retired, I took over his role and responsibilities, and I can tell you we're fortunate here in LA, but every day is a fight, and it's a fight that we're happy to take on, advancing the cause for union construction workers, not just ones that are in our union, but all the future members as well. We're aggressive out here. We're working together amongst our affiliates to provide opportunities, and you know, I'm excited to come to work every day and fight for it.
Chris, I always say on the show, it's never a straight line. You know, you think things are going well, then all of a sudden, boom, somebody changes something in the middle of the process, and then you got to start all over. And then you got the non-union contractors that want to butt in on there. So I salute you, because it's got to be nerve-wracking at times. And plus, you're dealing with 48 local unions, 150,000 skilled tradesmen and women in 14 trades. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot to unwind there. So, you know, I'm sure that you've got a lot of stories to share. But when you say fights, is there anything you want to call attention to now? Because, you know, we're a nationally known podcast here, and we always like to rally the troops and say, hey, we got to help this guy out over in Los Angeles. Wait, can you call attention to anything right now, Chris?
Of course. And hey, Flash, I'm trying to be positive here. Any one given day, there's always something that isn't just right or something getting to go off the rails. But we have a lot to be fortunate here in L.A. and Orange County. But, some of the big fights we're in right now, we're supporting a ballot measure that's on the November ballot in the city of Los Angeles, which I believe is either the or one of the largest affordable housing initiatives anywhere in the country. We're going to the voters. We worked with a broad coalition to get signatures to qualify for the ballot. We turned in over 98,000 signatures to put on the ballot an increase to the transfer tax. So when a property sells in the city of Los Angeles over $5 million. And I can tell you, if you're in Los Angeles and you have a piece of property worth $5 million or more, you're very, very fortunate. Whether you're a homeowner with a home worth that or you're a business, you're very fortunate. We have an extreme housing crisis here in Los Angeles. We have really, really tough affordability and a tough job market to be able to earn enough and to support a family and still afford rent or afford home ownership. It's a struggle and people are falling behind.
Yeah.
So our Building Trades Council, a broad coalition of housing advocates, renters, advocates, labor, and us, we're trying to be part of the solution. So when one of those properties sells $5 million and above, it's not a property tax. It's not anything that's going to be passed on to renters, because if a building owner doesn't sell, they never pay this.
Mm-hmm.
When you sell, you put a little bit more into a transfer tax that would build somewhere between $865 to $925 million a year, which in turn is going to be used to produce affordable housing in Los Angeles, as well as emergency assistance for renters. So if somebody's housed and they get in a bind, it's better for us to help them a little bit, get them back on their feet, keep them housed so the problem doesn't become worse. And this is projecting over 26,000 units over the first 10 years. All of the new construction of the affordable housing projects is going to be done under a project labor agreement with local hire, so we ensure that Angelenos have a pathway into our trades and can build their community. So we're on the ballot this November. The polling's looking good. We have a broad coalition. We're working every day to fundraise. We could use any help on fundraising, because in a city this large, trying to get the word out is expensive. But that's a huge fight of ours right now, is trying to provide enough housing at a level that working people can actually afford to live in the city.
Yeah, oh, I know. That's tough over there. I know for a fact, like a home in the Midwest, say, let's just use a figure of $300,000. That probably doesn't even exist over there in Los Angeles, but I'm going to just use a figure of $300,000. That same home in Los Angeles would be well over $1 million. That's the difference in property value. What are the average rents going for over there right now, Chris?
Oh, it's really tough. You're in the I would have to say average in the 3,000 plus range.
Wow.
You know, you got studios that go for less, but very tough for a family to live in a studio. And it's just a struggle, and they're going up every single day.
Yeah. So if people want to help out, you mentioned fundraising, should they just go to your website? Will you have something posted there, the laocbuildingtrades.org?
Can reach out to our, look us up on Twitter, and I believe we have our Twitter handle for you to announce at the end of the podcast. As well as our website, we have links to the campaign. The campaign is called United to House LA. They have a website as well that you can reach out to. And the actual ballot measure itself is Measure ULA.
Okay. United to House LA. I like that. That's good. I see your Twitter handle here. It's at @LAOC_BTrades. So that's the Twitter handle there. Chris,
we usually have links to it on a daily basis on our Twitter page, updating folks on the campaign, updating folks on new people coming on board, and our efforts to really, really be part of the solution. This is going to serve, approximately 66,000 people over 10 years. I can tell you, if this sort of effort, not just building housing, but also giving people access to legal assistance, to emergency renter assistance, help for seniors. So not just building more housing, but really a holistic, well-rounded approach. You would see a difference on the streets of Los Angeles today. I guarantee you that.
United to House LA. Again, that's a campaign that's going on in Los Angeles. Chris, I got to take a quick break here. Why don't we come back? I got to talk to you about what happened recently with the LA City Council voting to ban most gas appliances in new construction. That one caught my attention. I got to talk about that with you. Chris Hannon joining us on our live line, Executive Secretary of the Los Angeles Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Hi, this is Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and I am a huge fan of Flash and America's Workforce Radio and podcast.
Hello from the Communication Workers of America, District 4. We are a labor union representing a vast array of workers in different industries, including the Association of Flight Attendants, Telecommunications, CWA Passenger Services, Public Health Care, and Education Workers, the IUE, CWA Industrial Division, the National Association of Broadcast Employees, the CWA News Guild, not to mention our growing digital sector, and many others. If you're interested in organizing your work group or learning more about what it means to be CWA strong, visit our website at www.cwad4.org. That's cwad4.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on at least six platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And when you get an opportunity, do this. Just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. Let's go back to the city of Los Angeles. Joining us on our live line today is Chris Hannon. Chris is the executive secretary of the Los Angeles Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. Lots going on in L.A. You got this hotel and resort that Nickelodeon is in the process of doing, and we'll get an update on that. But here's the story I want to talk about, where your city council voted recently to ban most gas appliances in new construction. Whoa! Don't they want to ban fossil fuels, or no, not fossil fuels, but gas-powered cars? Isn't that supposed to happen in like 2030 or 2035, something like that, Chris?
Yeah. The state of California is aggressive about reducing greenhouse gas emissions. State of California is aggressive to be a leader in meeting our climate goals, which I believe are some of the most aggressive goals, not only in the country, but in the world. But yes, places like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and really the state of California as a whole, they're really pushing and trying to accelerate the timeline to meet these goals. And the goals are really aggressive. As a union construction worker and as a representative of union construction local unions and members, we want to do better for the environment. We want to help the state meet its climate goals, but we want to do it within the state of California. We want to produce our own energy. We don't want to be dependent on the Middle East. We don't want to be dependent on countries that have little or no environmental standards, and even less standards for workers. So it's a constant fight between our state building trades, Council of California, our local building trades councils like here in Los Angeles, Orange Counties, and throughout the state of California to ensure that the needs of working families are being considered, the ability to meet these goals. We don't want goals that are unattainable and then the state to panic and then resort to countries outside of the United States and outside of California to supplement our energy needs. We want to be self-sustainable here in California. We want those jobs to be good union jobs, just like every one of the construction jobs at refineries in California. We want to ensure that that our building trades members have a place in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be producing green hydrogen, solar, wind, we support all of that, but we want to make sure that we have reasonable goals, and we don't want to not challenge ourselves, but we want to have reasonable goals, and we want to have those jobs here local in California at the highest standards anywhere. Workers have to be respected, and working families have to be able to afford it. So when you see cities like Los Angeles pushing for policies to eliminate natural gas, sometimes, you know, they're doing it for the betterment of the environment, but, you know, you got to slow down and, hey, look at the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there a place to increase efficiencies also, you know, to reuse water? You know, our predicament on water in Southern California and throughout the state is dire. It is extremely dire. We don't have enough water. And time after time, we've seen projects that would bring solutions like desal being tabled or voted down because folks say we don't need it, but yet we're having water rationing here. We got to look at everything to be more sustainable. So when the city of Los Angeles wants the, you know, building and safety and the city to come back with an ordinance to eliminate gas, you know, how does that affect working families' abilities to pay their utilities?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Is it just to make a political statement, or are you willing to look at water reuse? So whether it be the state building trades, whether it be our local building trades and our local unions, we're fighting to make sure that when actions like this are taken, we stop for a minute, we consider working families, we consider poor families, we consider actually being able to meet these goals. And it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress at a city level, a county level, going on all throughout the state of California right now. And and it's not that we're naysayers. We're not. We're enthusiastic about working on offshore and onshore wind. We're enthusiastic on industrial solar, on clean hydrogen. But those have to be high job standards. Those have to be a place where you and I can go and support our families and be able to make a place in California.
Well, I think we're talking about having a seat at the table here. I mean, if they want to make these changes, it's so darn important that you, as a working guy and head of the building trades over there, you got to have some input into what, because we're talking major changes here. And the other part about this gas, I really viewed natural gas more as a clean form of energy. I guess maybe if it's being fracked, that might be a danger to the environment. I know there's some controversy on that. I don't know if it happens out there, but and the more conversations I have, especially with people like yourself, is we need everything. We need all the energy we can get our hands on because we are huge consumers of energy. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, we need it all. So, again, it goes back to what you said. There's balance that needs to be in that equation. And California, Chris, I mean, you're pretty much a union-friendly state, right? I mean, are things changing over there politically?
No, in California, we're very fortunate. We're very fortunate, but I can tell you every day is still a fight. You have developers, you have business, you have people trying to undermine our fight for just fair wages,
mm-hmm.
The ability to have health care, the ability to have a secure retirement, and to be properly trained so we can have a career. This isn't too much to ask for working people, and that's our fight every day. And we have people trying to undermine us every single day. But, you know, all that said, we are in a state that does value labor. does, you know, have significant respect for working people. So even though we have a fight every day and we're never happy because we always want to do better for working people and for union members, for that new apprentice, it's still a fight, but we're in a fortunate position to be well positioned in that fight.
Well, there's one project here that seems to be going in the right direction, and this is this Nickelodeon Hotel and Resort. This thing sounds really cool. Water slides, a lazy river. Sounds like a lot of jobs here. Where are we with this process, Chris?
So this hotel and resort is going through the approval process. Our members turned out last week, and it came down right to the wire, but the developer, the general contractors that are going to be, and the subcontractors working the project agreed to do a project labor agreement with us to ensure that every one of those construction jobs, every one of those apprentices working on the project have exactly what we were talking about. So the city of Garden Grove has in the development agreement, the developers already agreed to work with labor, and it's going to be a neat project for people to come and visit the city of Garden Grove, to come and visit the Disneyland Resort, and to see California. Both places are great partners to the building trades. We have thousands of union building trades members working at Disneyland every day. They're going to be working on this hotel, and hopefully this hotel breaks ground sooner than later, and we can all welcome you here to Southern California.
And I'm sure you could welcome more apprentices into the L.A. building trades over there. We're here, and there's various parts of the country where they're crying for more apprentices. How are we doing on that? How's the outreach going, especially into the schools over there, Chris?
I can tell you under the leadership of the building trades, and I don't mean under my leadership, I mean under leadership of the building trades for the last number of decades, we've embraced local hire. We've embraced reaching out to communities, specifically underserved communities, welcoming people into our apprenticeships. We have project labor agreements on these major construction projects, with local hire goals, with hire apprenticeship goals. And the last numbers I've seen, we had over 21,000 union construction apprentices that live in the counties of Los Angeles and Orange County. So not just that belong to our 48 affiliates, but that actually live in Los Angeles and Orange counties. We also have members that live in surrounding counties like Riverside, San Bernardino, Ventura and Kern. And if you go to the Department of Labor, I think you would be hard pressed to find other states, not other counties, but other states that have that many apprentices across all of their industries. So here in Los Angeles and Orange counties, we have great leadership at our local union levels, our joint apprenticeship committees that are seated by our union contractors and our local unions. They embrace growing because we have projects under project labor agreements. They can do planning ahead of time. They know we're going to need apprenticeships and we need skilled labor for our future. And they've been growing. They've been doing a fantastic job. We have a nonprofit here at our Building Trades Council that supports quality apprenticeship readiness programs, where we work with local school districts, community colleges, and community-based organizations, really to complement the good work that our apprenticeship programs already do. Our apprenticeship programs are already working with local school districts, local America's Job Centers, local community colleges. We're working with the formerly incarcerated and with returning veterans. Our nonprofit here at our Building Trades Council just complements those efforts. And I can tell you, we have thousands upon thousands of people applying for apprenticeships, and our local unions are, you know, they're probably taking in 4,000, 4,500, 5,000 apprentices a year.
Wow.
Right now in our area.
You're
so
making
a great place to begin a career.
You're making a lot of people in similar positions like yours very jealous around the country. You know that right now. I just wanted to say that. My gosh, things are going in the right direction there. I mean, you have your challenges, but there's a lot of good things happening. Chris, thank you so much for your time and your dedication. And I could tell you're very passionate out there. Good luck to you on that ballot initiative coming up again. United to House LA, supported by the trades. Definitely affordable housing. My God, what a concept. We need it. All right, buddy, you take care, stay safe, and stay in touch, okay, brother?
Take care, Flash. Thanks for helping get our message out. Be well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to check in with our independent labor voice. That would be Mr. Thomas Buffenbarger.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland at 216-881-1802. Call Music Talent of Cleveland as your dependable source for professional musicians in Northeast Ohio. Union musicians add harmony to weddings, elegance to parties, and uplifting music for all events. Music Talent of Cleveland contracts solo and ensemble musicians as well as bands and orchestras for single engagements. So hire union musicians. Call Music Talent of Cleveland today. 216-881-1802.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Labor Federation. All right, let's go to line number two. Joining us, as he always has done, well, he's been our independent labor voice for a number of years, many years, General President of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. That would be Tommy Buffenbarger. And we got a lot of topics to get in today. Number one is rail. Tommy Buffenbarger, a couple of months ago, this was back in February, pretty much broke the news that there was going to be some issues in rail this year. We came close. We came real close, and we have a contract. It's a tentative contract. Will it pass? We won't know for quite some time now. Tommy Buffenbarger, welcome back to the show. And you are of the same opinion as Greg Regan. We had Greg on the show yesterday on behalf of the Transportation Trades Department. This is going to take a while to find out the final vote then, right?
Oh, absolutely, Flash. The unions have this reconstituted proposal out there to vote on. And they have to be very careful and methodical presenting it to the membership. The members get the final say on it and to ratify it. And there's still some deep issues. It's quality of life issues that have now emerged, like the absentee policy, which we have talked about before, which is pretty bad. Then there's issues about vacation time and scheduling time with your family. People don't know that during the worst of the COVID pandemic, rail workers were deemed essential personnel, had to show up no matter what. And so many of our members, and I'm sure it's true in other unions, they got sick, they got their family members got sick, somebody needed to take care of them, and if they took time off to do those normal things, they were penalized and fired. And so this is now at so close on the heels of the pandemic kind of winding down, this issue burns deeply with railroad members. And they want to fix these problems for the future. Now, I know the railroads, they didn't do crap when it came to providing protective gear for the railroad workers. That's why there was a lot of sickness there. And it all supported this. Well, we're not going to help them with masks and disinfectants and all of that. And if they get sick, we're going to fire them. People are going to fight that. And I understand that. Now, when we roll out the vote, it takes time to get to railroad membership across this country from big locations like Chicago or North Platte, Nebraska is one that people might not realize that's where the heck is North Platte, Nebraska, but it's a huge rail center. It takes time to get those votes out among several unions, get them back, tally the results, and see where we are. My fear is this, is if we don't get a contract, if the members turn it down, if we can't keep tweaking this, then my fear is Congress getting involved and legislating the contract. And the only vote there is members of the House and the Senate. And if Congress does that, Mitch McConnell has already signaled publicly on TV it will be a concessionary agreement. Now, the contract before the members is probably, in my lifetime, probably the best I've ever seen. Is there room for improvement? Absolutely. Every contract, there's always room for improvement. But we got some serious thinking to do and discussions with the members, and I just wish all the rail membership the best as they make their final decisions on this.
And again, we probably won't know this till at least mid-November.
That's what it's looking like,
yeah.
Flash.
All right, let's move on to the Pacific Northwest. And you know how the lumber companies did during the pandemic. Everybody was building. They're remodeling their homes. Lumber prices skyrocketed. One of the companies that benefited was Weyerhaeuser. But apparently, they don't want to take care of their workers. And this is, I guess, a concessionary. Here we are in inflationary times, and they're trying to cut wages, less vacation time, pay more for health care. Tom, what's going on here?
I have dealt with the timber industry ever since the big merger of the Woodworkers Union with the Machinists Union. And I don't know what has gotten into Weyerhaeuser to, in these times, with members who showed up, did the job, and supplied America with timber products. In the midst of a pandemic, they've always done it in bad economic times. Wildfires have a big impact on them. And I don't understand how you can become one of the most profitable companies in America, billions of dollars in profits, and look your employee in the eye and say, we got to cut your wages for your own good. I don't understand the thinking here. And I'll tell you, this group of members, I am exceedingly proud of. They work hard in one of the most dangerous jobs there are, cutting down trees and sawing them up, processing, you know, all our building timber, our plywood, et cetera, comes through Weyerhaeuser mills. And I'm just hoping they can get this strike settled as quickly as possible, because those members deserve a positive contract. They deserve the respect and dignity they're due. And this company needs to recognize it. Weyerhaeuser is a different company than it was when I was there. It's more of a conglomerate now. When I first dealt with Weyerhaeuser, the Weyerhaeuser family called the shots. And you could work something out, because this is the first strike at a Weyerhaeuser operation in probably 40 or 50 years. And this modern management method that people employ, just like in the railroads, you got to respect workers some point along the way. They're the ones that make the profits for these companies. They're the ones that make the products that make that possible. And they deserve a fair share of the wealth they create for a lot of other people.
Yeah, it's pretty much what the union head is saying right now. We should give a shout out to those at this would be District W4, 1,100 members of the Machinists Union in Washington and Oregon on strike against Weyerhaeuser. Hopefully they'll come to some resolve on this. One more here, and this involves JetBlue. Apparently, now JetBlue is one of those what they call low-cost airlines, and they should be one of the low-wage airlines from what I've been reading here. Apparently, the ground operation workers, and there's a lot of them, 3,000 of them, and the baggage handlers say, hey, you know what, we need to do better here, so they're trying to organize with the machinists. What can you tell us about this? Because apparently you're pretty familiar with JetBlue operations, Tom?
From its very beginning, the people that put together JetBlue, some wealthy investors, wanted to create an airline that offered a higher level of service, a much more appealing interior for a plane to attract a loyal base of customers. And to get their start, they needed gates at airports in the areas they wanted to start their operations in. They couldn't get that. And they came to the union, and the machinist union, and says, how do we do this? And we want to be a real and a competitive airline in this business. You guys dominate it. How can you help us? They told us what they needed, and it was getting authorization from airport authorities and Congress, in fact, to be able to create this new type of shuttle-type aircraft when it started. And we helped them. On the guys that when it came time that the workers, we could organize the workers without the typical interference from management and let the workers decide if they wanted a union or not. Well, once they got the approvals for everything we said we would deliver, they reneged on the unionization part and fought unionization tooth and nail. The results of that today are their workers are among the lowest paid, hardest work. You know, they push them because there's no union to set the rules. There's no contract to protect the workers. Their benefits are subscale. Their wages are subscale. And finally, the workers now, as this airline has grown, they realize that if they want to make progress in this industry and stick with this employer, they need a union. And thus, this organizing drive has taken off. And I'm very, very hopeful when they get the chance to vote, they'll vote the right way, vote their pocketbook, vote their dignity and their respect, and they'll put a union in.
You know, it's interesting that they are billed as a low-cost airline. I don't know if you've checked their rates lately, but they're pretty close to everybody else. So
listen, when it comes to raking it in, they're no different than anybody else. It's just they don't want to share it, just like other companies,
right,
that we talked about. They just don't want to share it with anybody, like their workers.
Make a lot of money. Keep it to themselves. That's exactly how they do it today. And again, you reference this modern management, and you're right. You know, the old families like Weyerhaeuser, they had a relationship with their workers, but not anymore. Today, it's so corporate, it's so Wall Street, and it's like workers be damned. It's really sad, really sad. All right, Mr. Buffenbarger, we're going to leave it on that note. You take care, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll do this again next month. Okay, my friend?
Will do, and best to you and all the listeners, Flash.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, we'll check in with the heat and frost insulators and the latest from the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Until then, all of you, have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.